Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, April 23rd. And this is your boy Matt Shook, an AP freelance writer out here in Chicago covering the league. Also a Pistons fan my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade. Got the head cold going, so apologize for my voice there, but especially with our interview that I'm going to be playing today as well, probably pretty rough sounding, but I appreciate your patience there. Today we're going to be updating where we're at with the NBA playoffs and looking ahead to Monday night as well. We're going to talk to J.L. Covan, a comedian that I like who is a Utah Jazz fan. He follows hoops closely on social media, has some interesting thoughts about the league, funny guy as well. We talked about life on the road as a stand-up comedian, Donovan Mitchell, and how a guy from New York City became a fan of the Utah Jazz and the Karl Malone days and all that stuff. I enjoyed talking to JL. And we got another segment of Pistons Playoff Playback. I came up with that name, so we got a new name for the segment. Pistons Playoff Playback. We're going to go back to the going to work era a little bit there. But LeBron and the Cavs, they are back. A nice win with a little bit of controversy. What would the NBA playoffs be without some replays and bad calls by officials? The Cavs got the win on Sunday night, 104-100 over the Indiana Pacers, tying that series up at 2-2. The Milwaukee Bucks also evened it up with two home wins over the weekend. That one is 2-2. Giannis had the tie, the tip in late to break the tie to get the win for the Bucks. The Spurs survived game four against the Warriors, evading the sweep. I always kind of think of it this way. What if you're covering the Spurs on TV or in a newspaper or in your home? You're home for game four. You just got to lose this one last game and your season's over. Now you got to get back on the grind for a few more days, a practice day, a travel day, fly to Oakland to cover one more game that you know they're going to lose. When you're covering teams, you don't really root for teams, but in that situation, I would almost be openly rooting for the sweep there, especially given that there's no way they come back and win this in seven games or something like that. By the way, props to the Wizards. They held serve at home with two wins. That series is now 2-2 with Toronto. A nice late effort from John Wall and the supporting cast after Bradley Beal's bad fallout, bad call by the officials that followed him out. Toronto kind of looks like a deer in headlights yet again. I guess it's a spring tradition like no other in Canada, is the complete de-pantsing of the Toronto Raptors by someone. New Orleans has already advanced. They're the one team already in the second round. They swept Portland on Saturday. And tonight, Houston is at Minnesota for game four. The Rockets lead 2-1, 8 o'clock game there. Rockets 5.5-point favorites on the road. I would say that James Harden and them are a pretty safe bet to get it together and come back home with a 3-1 win there. And then the Thunder and the Jazz in the best Western Conference series. I think Milwaukee and Boston is probably the best series in the first round right now. But the best Western Conference series is Utah and Oklahoma City. Utah's up 2-1 there after an impressive win at home on Saturday night. And we'll talk to JL about that a little bit later on in the podcast. But the Jazz are 5.5-point favorites at home there. Your guess is as good as mine with that one. And in the other series we haven't touched upon yet, Philly leads the Miami Heat 3-1. They could put that one away in Game 5 on Tuesday back at home. But we're going to be talking to J.L. Covan, a comedian that I've come across on different podcasts, including the Adam Carolla Show, which I used to be a daily listener to. Don't catch it much anymore. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes!
And now we're being joined by comedian J.L. Covan, one of my favorite comedians. I've heard him on the Adam Carolla podcast and other podcasts over the years. So he's a big Utah Jazz fan. So I wanted to get his perspective and talk a little hoops with him. J.L., thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, as we tape this here on Sunday afternoon, you're in Tampa getting ready for the Sunday night show. What's that like being in some of these kind of random cities as a road comic? What do you do all day? What's that kind of experience like?
It's very bizarre because you sort of like, I'm just getting used to being in Tampa now. Like you kind of walk around, learn the lay of the land, and then it's like, okay, time to go home. It's a weird part of the town also. It's like New Orleans if you take away jazz and add mess. So it's a strange area of Tampa that I'm in. I know Tampa doesn't necessarily have the greatest rep to begin with, but it is sort of a weird life because you sort of live somewhere for 4 or 5 days and then you're not back here for another year to 16 months. So it is very strange, even though I've been doing it for a while.
Now, speaking of places with not great reps, we're a little bit of a complex that you're here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. A lot of Detroit fans listening to the show here. Have you been to Detroit to perform, and what are your impressions?
The last time I was in Detroit, I want to say it was like 2011 or 2012, but my first time performing there, I think, was 2010 at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, which is in, I think, is it in Royal Oak?
You got it, Royal Oak, my hometown.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that was nice. And I just remember, I think, you know, obviously 2010, Detroit was hit hard. So 2010, you know, was just coming out. You know, we were still basically in the worst part of the recession. So I remember I got a Hampton Inn for $39 a night for 3 nights. And I was like, whoa, that is a sick deal. But the thing about that club is most clubs on the middle act, you know, the headliner gets all the money and all the accolades, and the middle act basically has to do everything the headliner does except 20 minutes less each night. You know, you've got to travel city to city, but some clubs, most clubs put you up in a hotel or an apartment. Market Lee's didn't, and they were paying really cheap as well. But I did it because I figured I wanted to get in with different clubs and, you know, quote-unquote build up a fan base and just get kind of experience and exposure. So I ended up making $300 for 5 shows over 3 nights, which is horrible, I'll just be honest. It's horrible. Sure. Money. And I took Amtrak to Detroit, which cost me $86, and took Greyhound home, which cost me like 60 and was 18 hours. And then you add in my hotel for 3 nights. My profit for the week was $12 or the weekend. So I realized, unfortunately, until I'm, I guess, a headliner, it's really not economically intelligent for me to work Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle.
Well, we'll keep an eye on you.
Sad realities.
We'll keep an eye on your calendar, and hopefully Mark Ridley's, the Comedy Castle, or other places in Detroit pop up
and
soon.
I think Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. I know Ann Arbor isn't Detroit, but it's, you know, mm-hmm. a drive away. I'd sort of like to get in with that club as well. So at least I may branch into Michigan again, if not exactly in Detroit.
Well, we'd love to have you, JL, back in Southeast Michigan or anywhere in Michigan. But you're a big Utah Jazz fan. You got the team with the big win, 2-1 series lead on Saturday night at home,
yes,
again,
sir,
against Oklahoma City. So what's the fan base like? Did you grow up in Salt Lake?
I grew up in New York City. I'm a native New Yorker. I've only been to Utah once in my life. It was in 2010 to see my first game in Salt Lake, which they won in overtime over Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook of the Thunder. So that was probably the best regular season game of that year. And I, of course, went into the gift shop and bought like $500 worth of stuff because I'm like, I never see this much Utah Jazz stuff anywhere.
You blew all the Comedy Castle money.
Yeah, exactly. I think I did that as soon as I bought a popcorn. Then I was like, well, there goes that Mark Ridley money. But it was, I think I just grew up, not to give you too much of a backstory, but my brother, when I was young, was a huge Knicks fan, my older brother, and he subscribed to the Sporting News, which was before, you know, everybody got instant feedback through Twitter and, you know, cell phone apps. The Sporting News is like a weekly sports paper, which seems ridiculous now.
Right.
But at the back of every NBA section, they listed all the stats. And we're talking like the top 50 scorers in the league, the top 15 or 20 assist guys. So it was just great to pore over that as a little kid. And I kept seeing Malone and Stockton. You know, everybody knew Jordan. And I was like, who's this Malone? And this is me at like 8 years old, 7 years old. Who's Malone? Because he's always behind Jordan, who I know is the greatest player ever. So Malone must be pretty good. And then I was like, Magic Johnson's really good, but this guy Stockton is getting more assists than him. So I ended up watching them and liking them. And the other joke I tell people is, you know, I have a black father, I had a black father and a white mother. And I thought, they fight a lot, so it's really nice to see this black guy and white guy getting along and harmonizing. They were role models of racial harmony, whereas in my own house, it was just yelling and arguing. So I just was a huge just Malone and Stockton fan, and I think maybe a little bit of a contrarian spirit, even at a young age, was just like, I'll be the jazz fan from New York City, because then I'll stand out. I don't know if that was happening subliminally, but ever since then, thanks to Andre Kirilenko sort of keeping me interested during some of the down years, I've just maintained. I've been a fan, I guess, 30 years now, 31 years.
And now you got the Donovan Mitchell experience, the rookie that the Pistons decided to go with Luke Kennard instead of in the draft last year. What's the experience of rooting for him and knowing that there's many years of Donovan Mitchell in your life coming up?
Well, of course, I would love it now if we could, after the Gordon Hayward experience, I would love it if the league would just let us sign Mitchell to a 15-year deal today. Because now you have to, Gordon Hayward, it's just now you have to have that fear in the back of your mind. Like, what if like 3 years or 6 years from now, when he's still in his like absolute prime, he just decides to go to L.A. or Boston or Chicago? But he couldn't, I mean, he literally couldn't have come at a better time. Like, it's been so fun. And I think that's one of the things a lot of people don't really get or have forgotten now, that there's such a, you've got to win championships or it means nothing. Like, Malone and Stockton were the epitome of just, I enjoyed watching my team for 15 years with them. Like, they never won, but they were relevant every year. They had exciting moments every year, and they were just classy and great. And now I think we've gotten this mindset like, oh, I've got to win a title or who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. And it's like, then you lose the enjoyment of this year as a Jazz fan, where it's like we thought we were going to be bad, but we got the steal of the draft by far. We've got a good coach. We've added some good pieces. We're playing without our top three leading scorers from last year. Two of them we lost to free agency and one we traded. And we're kind of a better team, which is, you know, if you go the big three route, whether you're the Celtics or the Heat, like you kind of know, like that kind of kills some of the discovery of sports, where it's like, oh, well, now we have LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. So like now we know we have a one in two chance of winning the title. Whereas this is like, I thought we'd be in the lottery and shitty. And instead it's like, we might be a second-round playoff team. We might give Houston a run for their money. Maybe we'll attract some second-tier free agent. But it's like, it's been the most fun season since, you know, the late 90s, really.
Yeah, we had that as Pistons fans, like the first 25 games of this season, the first quarter of the season, we were really good. And having one of those years where you can build on it and maybe get to the second round or something like that. But obviously, now we're kind of stuck in the woods waiting for that year to come, hopefully sometime in the next couple of years. Another great thing about having
1995, the Pistons would be contenders. I mean, if you get a guy like Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin, you know, if that's your front court, that's pretty kick-ass for most of the NBA's history, except in the insane three-point era.
Right, exactly. And that's what we're going to be dealing with as Pistons fans, is trying to figure out how that's going to work. Maybe they'll get rid of three-pointers or something like that, and then we can turn into
a No, well, somebody had a suggestion, I think it was on Dan Lebatard, to make dunks worth 3 points. which sounds hilarious, and at the same time, it would be pretty cool, because all of a sudden, you might not have Anthony Davis just roaming the three-point line the entire game.
I've actually made the argument that, and then obviously this is colored as a Pistons fan, but is it a lot of fun to watch teams shoot 43 pointers in a game? I mean, after a while, it's like they're doing things that I could do when I was a teenager, and I'd rather be watching them do things that I can't do. You know, this is why I'm watching the NBA, the best athletes going up against each other. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it feels almost like video game type. Like I remember, I think it was Madden 97. My friends and I basically had to outlaw one play, and I forget which play it was, but it was basically just this, you know, tight end over the middle that you could always get. Like, the computer just didn't know how to defend it. So it was just like, that's going to be a 30-yard reception every time. So you just said, we can't do it. This feels video game where it's like, we're just going to it feels, the problem is you can't, the results don't lie. Like, you, Houston and Golden State are winning lots of games playing this way. So why would they stop? You just need some way to counteract it. And I don't know what it is when those shots are worth more, but it does feel kind of gimmicky, you know, in a weird, like, it's still basketball and these guys are great shooters, but it's like part of it just feels kind of like a gimmick instead of basketball, even though it is obviously basketball.
Yeah. I we got to find a way to get three to be less than two at some point. And I don't know how we can make that happen. You mentioned the video game one. The one that stood out to me was, I think it was like NHL 95 or 96, where if you skated, there was a spot kind of past the blue line, and if you skated across and just, like, put up a slap shot.
And you, like, held up the shot, the goalie would go for the fake, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was, like, it was, like, unstoppable, and, like, you could always score that way. And it was, like, yeah.
Well, and you're correct. I remember in college we banned that. My freshman year of college, we were like, you can't do that thing where you just skate pretending like you're taking a slap shot. The goalie dies, and then you go, boop.
Now, the other great thing about having JL on the show is he's got an in with President Trump. So I think you can have President Trump join us on the line. Is that right?
Yeah, believe me, I'm right here, okay? We've got a lot of, you know, the NBA, by the way, not a lot of people know this, but a lot of black people employed by the NBA, okay?
So I've noticed that.
Well, don't tell me they're doing poorly under me, okay? Under Obama, they brought in a lot of white Europeans, okay? I'm making it black again.
President Trump joining us. This is a big get for the Locked On Pistons podcast to have President Trump. Are you enjoying the NBA playoffs so far?
You know, they're doing pretty well. I'm a big fan of Kevin Love. He's my type of player. Okay, he's probably, you know, I'm sad Gordon Hayward can't play. So I like a lot of guys on different teams, but those are probably, you know, my two favorite players in the NBA.
They do stand out for some reason out there. But President Trump, are you the Cavs are in the middle of a tough series against Indiana right now. Are you a big LeBron James fan? How do you feel about LeBron?
To be honest, I wish LeBron James would shut up and just dribble and maybe do a little more making of baskets and less, you know, political statements. We really don't need that from him.
Okay. All right. And but obviously, the athletes are,
if he could,
you know,
get,
stepping
maybe
up.
If he could get the ball, it'd be nice if he could get the ball to Kevin Love a little bit more.
I'm sensing a kind of a theme here with the players that you like. Is there like a
well, I
a
like
sport?
You know, I know what you're thinking. They're all American players, but I'm a huge fan of Dirk Nowitzki. Also, he's a good guy, not from a, you know, a shithole country.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Germany. So obviously not an American. So I guess you are diverse in your tastes.
A lot of diversity in the people I like in the NBA. Americans, foreign born.
And President Trump, I'm glad to hear that since you've taken over the presidency, you're not letting that cut into your time on playing on some of your own golf courses. How's your game like these days as the golfer in chief?
Well, I mean, to be honest, if I wasn't president, I could probably, you know, be a professional. A lot of people are saying that, okay? But, you know, I've got more important things to do. So I'm just kind of like, you know, probably the best amateur golfer there is, but I just don't have the time to be a pro.
Wow. The best amateur golfer. And while
being
president.
Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of people saying it. I'm not saying it. If you look around, you're going to hear a lot of people saying it.
I'm guessing there's some Twitter accounts that talk about that kind of thing that are popping up all the time these days. But hey, I can't thank you enough, President Trump, for taking the time here on Locked On Pistons. Any closing thoughts about some things that are going on in the world these days? You got your buddy Michael Cohen's being raided by the FBI. That might be something that could be damaging for you. Are there some things that are stirring in your mind these days?
Fake news, no collusion. I was just going to say, I would have won Michigan by even more if there weren't a ton of illegal Hillary Clinton voters, okay? So just remember that in 2020, I'm going to win Michigan even more bigly.
I don't know. I've got a feeling that that's not going to happen, but we will see. And President Trump, hey.
Well, to be honest, I'm the president, okay, and you're doing Detroit Hoops podcast. So I think one of us obviously has the secret to political success, okay?
Obviously, hey, I can't argue with the results. But President Trump, I got to go. Thanks for taking the time. I'm sure you have a million busy things to attend to, being that you are the president and everything. And I'm seemingly hanging with
McDonald's just got here. My McDonald's order just got here. So that's a pressing matter.
Well, I'll let you get to that. But President Trump, thanks for joining us. You can find President Trump on Twitter, I believe, at Real Donald Trump, I think is the Twitter handle, or Donald Trump or something like that. But J.L. Coven.
And I'm verified. I'm verified, okay? Verified. I have a blue check mark. Not a lot of people get those, okay?
Well, I appreciate that, and congratulations on that verified. I used to have a blue check mark myself, but then I changed my Twitter handle, if you believe that. So J.L. Coven, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. You can find him on Twitter at JL Covan. All sorts of YouTube videos as well. Check those out. New York, Connecticut.
Yeah, JL Comedy. That's what the one-stop shop for every social media, videos, blogs, calendar, all that. JLComedy.com. I think that's the simplest way.
Check that out. You got Dayton, Ohio, if you want to make the road trip down from Detroit, coming up soon. D.C. as well this summer. And we'll keep tabs and see if you're coming back to Royal Oak.
And I will say, just one last thing. I'm usually at the Toledo Funny Bone once a year. So I think that's actually, I've had people from Detroit come down for that, because that's, I think, what, like 45 minutes, 50 minutes away.
Yeah, easy drive. So we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll pass along on the show if those dates come up soon too.
Awesome. Go Jazz.
And that was comedian J.L. Coven. Want to say thanks again to him for joining us, but wanted to get through the Pistons playoff playback segment, newly named as well, April 23rd, 2003. So on this date, I guess that would be 15 years ago now, game two of the first round, and the first year that it was a best of seven series. Thankfully for the Pistons, as it turns out, they came in as the one seed to that year's playoffs and matched up with the Orlando Magic. We told you last week about Rick Carlisle's first season with the team. This was year two. They beat the Raptors in the first round his first year, and then lost in the second round to Boston. But then in year two, came in and played the Orlando Magic in the first round. In that second year for Carlisle, the Pistons gave Chauncey Billups a six-year, $35 million free agent contract, which is something you could do back then, give out a six-year deal, and also traded for Rip Hamilton and giving up Jerry Stackhouse in the deal with the Washington Wizards, a whole new backcourt for the Pistons. Ben Wallace continued to play well. He picked up his second straight Defensive Player of the Year award during this season. The Pistons, like I said, the one seed, riding high, but they did lose game one at the Palace. But in this one, on the 15 years ago tonight, the game two, they came out strong, went up 17 points in the first quarter. However, Tracy McGrady went nuts, but it turns out it was a losing effort as the Pistons evened the series. McGrady had 46 points in this one despite losing 89-77 in a 12-point loss. 46 of his team's 77 points, and he needed to. The other starters for the Magic that year, in a series that would extend to seven games, Drew Gooden, Jacques Vaughn, Gordon Giricek, and Andrew DeClercq. That's right. Drew Gooden was by far the second best starter on the team with Tracy McGrady. Pat Garrity got big minutes off the bench. He's obviously now in the Detroit Pistons front office as an assistant general manager. Coach was Doc Rivers back then. Grant Hill was on the bench for this team. He had an ankle injury, of course. This is his third year with the Orlando Magic. Rip had 30 points to lead the offense. Clifford Robinson, he had a nice game with double figures, along with Chauncey and Ben and Corliss Williamson. All those guys were in double figures as well. This was Cliff Robinson's last season with the Pistons. Michael Curry, kind of a running gag here. He started, he played 27 minutes, scored 2 points, did have four fouls. So a classic Michael Curry performance there. We'll talk about the rest of the series, and it would be an interesting series as it went on next week on the podcast. McGrady put his foot directly in his mouth, and that would go the distance as well. And the Pistons fans would be introduced to the rookie who had not a lot of playing time throughout the season, but a long-armed dude from Kentucky who would play his way into Pistons fans' hearts over the years. More on that next week. Maybe you can guess who I'm referring to there. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give us a like on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-Matt Schoch. Thanks again to J.L. Covan. We're obviously on Stan Van Gundy watch all week, and we'll probably put up a quick podcast if there's any kind of decision rendered, and then come back with it the following day, or if it happens at night, we'll just go with the next morning's podcast. But we'll play that one by ear, obviously, and thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you all again soon. Enjoy the games tonight.